Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a wonderful mood for the study of the Word of God and worshiping together in spirit and in truth. I want to start off with a story on how family fights start. Kit told me this one this morning. This loving son-in-law gave his mother-in-law for Christmas, he gave her a very beautiful cemetery plot. Just a wonderful, wonderful gift. Well, the next Christmas came around, he didn't get her anything. And she said, notice you didn't give me anything. He says, well, you haven't used the one I gave you last year. Now, having said that, let's be sure we're in the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. So let's test ourselves, be in the Spirit for a morning of worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together for the purpose of fellowship with one another, worshiping you, studying your word, and just edifying ourselves, Heavenly Father, and stabilizing, encouraging one another for the battle that we live each day. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Well, the end of the world did not occur. The day of judgment did not start. And all those things that were predicted, and they just did not happen. However, the thing is that we should all live every day looking anxiously, waiting eagerly, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, for the revelation of Jesus Christ. But get weirdos like that, and bad things happen. And so, with that in mind, that's how we're supposed to live. And then secondly, this morning we began a very important study on tribulation, suffering, in Romans chapter 5. So with these kinds of things working and glorifying or exalting in tribulation and all of these things, let's begin this morning by singing 388, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Or Can I Get By with Doing Nothing? And so let's stand and sing together. Amen. Assembly is concerned in regard to the young people. And Larry, would you like to give us a little report, please?
Sure. I'll just mention thank you, and then maybe a few of you who came last night could share with the group what it was like.
because I think it's better coming from you guys, because I know that you were actually patrons of our lovely diner. But I would like to thank everybody who attended. All of you have given donations. We brought in over $1,000.
Wow.
A little bit more specifics on where we are and what that means in our overall budget. Maybe next week when Leslie has a chance to put everything together for us. But it was a huge success. Not
fantastic.
Financially. I mean, that's just always there. I'm truthfully never even worry about that whatsoever. But from a perspective of what the children were, the synergy and the, I don't know, it was just awesome. Maybe some of you who were there, Trey, Sharon, Brian, Jennifer, Tawna, anybody, Mom, Bill?
Well, Larry's mom opened up her house, which worked out perfect. The way it was laid out, she had hardwood floor, so that helped a lot. But Larry and them had set it up for the kitchen. They had an in and out door for the kids. They had the valet park up front, but the guys, you know, welcomed you in. They had a hostess table, which they told you where you're going to sit or to wait a little bit. And the waiters and waitresses were so attentive. The kids did such a great job. They were right on the spot with everything. And it was just really neat. It was a lot of fun to see everybody there.
Good.
Because after Larry said last week, the week before, he said it was a little freezing out there. I thought, like Brian said, we're going to be the only people up there. But we were the last ones there. And it was like,
wow.
Okay.
Super.
It was a lot of fun. It was really neat. It really was.
That is good. Somebody else talk. Yes.
One thing they had the kids sing. There were about 15, 19 kids. Yeah.
Wow.
So after they served and did all the cleaning and everything from the setting, and they went up on the stairs and they sang, some of those kids just belted out the song. It was
I got a serenade. Wow.
Yeah, they were just doing.
They
really
sang
good.
Deep in the Heart of Texas and.
Ah, there you go.
And Happy Trails.
All right, good. Two good songs. All right. How come you didn't valet park?
They just wanted the car keys.
Yeah. I can believe that. I can believe that.
And thank you to Phil and Trey for leading us in prayer at both set seating. Each of them were at two different seatings, and we took an opportunity to do that. You could just feel not just the like-mindedness, but God was present there. It was awesome.
I love it. So the advertisement and encouragement on our first study on Sunday morning, we're in 1 Corinthians 1, where Paul is talking about how the church at Corinth is just blessed in every spiritual gift. Everyone. They didn't lack one. And I was just, I talked about how I am so proud of this assembly, though we're not that big. I love what people say when they've come and visited and leave. I like the things and the comments that they say. And it's just that you're talking about that just makes me so proud for this assembly of believers to be a part of y'all. And what were you going to say about last night?
Oh, it was good. It was the kids. I mentioned to Jennifer that it was neat to see the kids. They all had their specific roles.
Ah.
And they were just excited to do that part.
That is so cool.
They did a great job getting that together. Because you could tell the kids were really good on their training. They practiced it.
Yeah,
and they were good at it.
There was a lot of moms were involved in doing that. A lot of parents.
And our waiter had his little spill with his
team.
But it's so cute. It's so cool. It really was neat.
This is the one time I get to write on my hand.
That is so good.
Oh.
Way out of their comfort zone. Some of those very shy children. You just saw beaming.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love it.
And on that note, I had so some of the friends from Wiley, Ben's friends, very shy kid. I'm very shy kid. Very nervous about the whole thing, but I had to be a waiter. I didn't know that he was nervous or shy or whatever he was designated to be a waiter.
Wow.
He came up to me in the middle of things, and I'm having so much fun. I got five people sitting on the carry the street.
That is so beautiful.
And here's another thing is when these children go off to camp, I don't know, Cameron and Mackenzie, if you feel this, but they have such a synergy and camaraderie already because of all of these things that we've done together. And when they get off to camp, you know, all the bugs and things that we worked out about personality, those are gone.
Wow.
Now it's just, what are we going to learn?
Well, almost.
I know all those guys out there, and I have to say they were such gentlemen out there.
Well, we set the tone. We set the tone.
There you go.
I can't
all
talk right. about the others because I'm there, but I think we did an extra.
And there's something to be said about that. They walk in with a good attitude, not their car's been wrecked. And yeah. I love that. That is good. Oh, that's classic. Well, come on in. Yeah, come on in to me. Oh, I love it. That is so good. Oh, wow. Oh, that is good.
Wow.
Good.
And, you know, on the Thursday night thing, if we can back up to Thomas.
Yeah.
Go to Thomas at all?
Do what?
Were you going to speak about Thomas or the band thing that happened Thursday night?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So I appreciate you and Judith taking your time to get to hospital because when Rick and Terry showed up, every day was clapping. I mean, they were just so grateful that they were able to step aside and feel the warmth of so many other people. That community of that band was over the top. It wasn't just that they literally laid down and shared whatever funds were coming in were going straight to the medical fund. They had an opportunity to make money that night. They spent money. They
wow.
had a huge balloon arch when we first walked in. They had computers set up. We had opportunities for all of the donations.
Oh, wow.
And then on the stage, from a spiritual standpoint, the principal of the school spoke about this is what a school family is about, faith, and coming together at all one cause like this.
Wow.
She publicly announced, you know, the reason for us being there. We as family we thought we were going to have to stand up and say, if you'd like to buy a band and if you'd like to donate to the medical fund, and we're kind of figuring out how that would felt. The students said it three or four different times, and they were talking about prayer, they were talking about not just the opportunity to help the family, but spiritual. I mean, I can't mention to you how many times words faith and prayer and love were brought up from the stage.
Wow.
And then it was kind of funny because when they did call the family up there, they asked that, you know, they gave us an opportunity to speak. And they were thanking, you know, giving the awareness mainly to Rick and Terry, of course. Terry slipped off to go to the restroom, perfect timing, right before we got up on stage. So Rick was standing there left.
Oh, we could not see the speaking, but we were able to hear it. And I was amazed at Rick's speaking ability because I've known Rick for many, many years, but it's always just, you know, home here, and he's very soft spoken and all, but he was very articulate.
Perfect timing that God sent Terry to the bathroom and Rick was able to stand there. I mean, it was awesome.
Wow, he was. Yeah.
And the music was really, really good.
Oh, the music was beautiful.
And we got a text message from the band director last night. They took in $4,500.
Wow. Wow. That's just awesome.
Well, as we were, of course, sitting with Thomas, and that was his dad, I said, Thomas, that's your dad. And he goes, yeah, my dad.
Announcing to the world that Terry was in the bathroom.
and then Terry spoke, and then his grandmother. I said, "Who's that?" And he says, "I think it's." I mean,
yeah.
He calls her grandma. That's grandma.
Yeah.
So I think Thomas, of course, he's very drugged,
right.
but he realized, you know, what all was going on, and it was, even us sitting in his room, was it was, whew, I just wanted to cry. Right. I mean, it was just so moving.
It was wonderful. So that's why we were not at the deal, but we were with Thomas. And I'll just tell you right now, I wasn't even going to bring it up, but I'm very sorry that I missed last night's dinner. Granddaughter graduated from high school, and it was a big deal. But I tell you, the since nobody knows him, I'm not out of turn here, nobody knows who it was, where it was, or anything. The keynote address speaker, I mean, people, he was pitiful. He holds a chair at, and I don't mind saying this, at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. He's supposed to be a great communicator. It was just to have the opportunity to speak to 35 young people getting ready to be turned loose on the world, and he just, my opinion, just blew it, and a lot of what he said wasn't even true. And so I would have much rather been fellowshipping with y'all. But so thank you for sharing that. And just a note on Thomas, I talked with Terry this morning, and Terry and Rick had planned to come and worship with us, but Rick just had a rough night. And so, Thomas had a very rough night, and so they were not able, they were up through the night, and not able to be here. And they requested we just be in prayer for, number one, Thomas's strength, that the body will just continually get stronger and better, because the scheduled date of the blood bone marrow transfusion
stem cell
transfusion, and is getting close, but they can't do it if he's not really ready. So please be in prayer for just more and more increased health each day. But I always like to tell you, please be in prayer for Rick and Terry. They're in the battle. To look down at your 14-year-old son, going in on 3 months now, lying on the table bed, that's got to be tough. And it's got to be very trying to their faith. So please continue to be in prayer for Rick and Terry. And if you get a chance to encourage them and all this, please do that. Okay, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
I'd say Jeff is going to be working in Chicago for about the next 6 months or so.
Who is? My goodness, in Chicago? We'll definitely be in prayer for you, young man. Definitely be in prayer for you. But you're going to be up there for 6 months?
Yeah, I'm going to come back as many weekends as I can, but I have to be up there full time.
Well, we're going
to
miss you. Yeah. My goodness, bro.
You'll see me more than
we'll be in prayer that whatever you're there for work goes really quick, and you get through quicker than 6 months. That you're just having such success at whatever it is, and you'll be able to come home much sooner. Guys, thank you for sharing that, Jim. Jeff will miss you. My goodness. Come back.
I think part of the very important thing is pray for him not to be indoctrinated by the Democrats.
That's it. That's what we have to be in prayer. Got to be in prayer for him. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
We have a friend that's still battling breast cancer. She's going into her second round. So, pray for her.
First name?
Jan.
Be in prayer for Jan, and God will use this to what he's doing. And we need to be in prayer for Eve as her hand recovers from surgery. My goodness, I don't mind saying that. Hey, we want you to recover. And so... any other, yes?
Please pray for my grandmother. Her name is Mary. She lives in Thailand. She's over 80 years old now. But 2 weeks ago, they found out that she had pneumonia. But because of the condition in the hospital where she lived, they didn't have room for her, so they sent her home.
Okay.
And she's trying to rest, but she's not having much of a success because of being old, too. So that they have to try to get her to the hospital.
Would ever be in prayer. Wow. Pneumonia, that's hits a lot of elder people. So we've got to be in prayer. The Word of God declares, whatsoever a man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by faith, be led of the Spirit in regard to giving. And by the way, the April financial statements on the board there, if you were, we were going to try to put it up after a month's over and Jim's able to do some calculating, he'll put it on the board back there. So if you want to keep tabs on that, you can do so. And so let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this assembly. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the spiritual gifts that are here. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities you give this assembly for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, being a witness for the person of Jesus Christ in the world today, here locally, and then our outreach. And we pray now, Father, that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Scriptures to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Where this morning we're going to begin a very important study, especially at this time in the history of this assembly. We're going to be studying, looking at tribulations, sufferings, why they happen, what's going on with them. And we have many in this assembly, this small assembly. We seem to be kind of hit with this in many different areas of tribulations. And so we need to have an understanding. But the most important thing I want to cover as we do this, why? Why exalt in tribulation? How to exalt in tribulation? That just doesn't sound right. That we should exalt in our tribulations. And I hope that when we finish with this, that you will understand why. And if you have any questions, and when at the end of today, through the week, and next week, email me. Let me know your questions. I know a lot of you won't come up and just ask me here. Some of you might, and I hope you do. But if we don't cover something when we're through, now wait till I'm through with it, because when we get into it, building it. So we have a lot of things we want to look at, but the most important thing is why exalt, how to exalt. But we have some things we need to look at. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Now the purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, not me. So let's spend a few moments in prayer preparing ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Now, Father, we are grateful for this book. We're thankful for this assembly. think, Father, that we have been given everything necessary to grasp the Word of God. That's amazing. There are mathematical formulas we may not be able to even begin to grasp. There are things dealing with nuclear science that we're not able to grasp. But to think that each one of us has everything necessary to grasp the Word of God, the mysteries of God, is boggling to the mind. And it's so easy and so free. And so, Father, we pray now that you will guide us this morning. Open our eyes to the things you would have us to see, to understand, to grasp in our individual lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, chapter 5 of Romans, verse 3. And not only this. Now, what is not only this? Exalting in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 2. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, I've got to start this with a humorous point. One of my favorite non-biblical writers is Charles Schulz, as some of you know. And it was so cool. Charlie Brown is telling Lucy that to suffer, so he didn't use the word tribulations, suffer things in life. And she said, why? And he said, because it develops perseverance. And she said, perseverance for what? And then the third frame was just, they were both looking at each other. And the fourth frame, Charlie Brown had a look on his face and said, for more persecutions, more sufferings. And so it just kind of didn't fit. I thought it was funny. All right. Okay, let's take a look now. We come to the fourth result of justification. First one was peace with God, verse 1. The second, eternal security, verse 2. 3, exalting in the hope of the glory of God. And now, in verse 3, exalting in tribulation. This is one of the most confusing things, teachings of the Bible to many people. It's misunderstood. It's misapplied by many. James words it in another way. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, we meet to study the Word of God twice a week, Wednesday night and Sunday morning. And I'm sorry that's all we've got are the two times a week. But what I do find interesting is that right now, we teach three classes, and two of them are dealing with the study of tribulations. I think that's really interesting. I wish I could say I planned it this way, but I didn't. I would like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John 16. The Gospel of John 16, which we're studying on Wednesday evening. John 16. And if you will now, look with me at verse 33. Now, let me set the scene for you first. Don't read it. Well, this is verse 32 and 33, the last thing Jesus Christ said to the disciples before his prayer in chapter 17 and before he goes into his arrest, beatings, trials, crucifixion. So we got to understand, this is very important to him. The upper room discourse started in John 13. Then at the end of chapter 14, they left the upper room. Then there was more teaching in John 15 and in John 16. Don't know where these things were taught, but this is his last words to them. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Now, I just want you to note a few things. It says, in the world, not from the world. Just being in this earth, you're going to have tribulation. And another thing I want to point out is, this is absolute. You will have tribulation. Now, look at the subjunctive mood. You may have peace. So you can chalk it up, people. You're going to have tribulation. Now, whether or not you have peace is up to you. But you're going to have tribulation. You can also have peace in the midst of that tribulation. But it's going to be up to you. So just we have that going on, and then we have Romans 5:3. Let's go back now to Romans 5:3. And not only this, not only do we boast in the hope of the glory of God alone, but we also boast in something else. But we exalt, a repetition of the verb just covered last week, present middle subjunctive of kaukaomai, means to boast, to exalt. What's interesting here? The present tense. What should characterize the life of a believer? See? And that should characterize our lives, people, is to exalt in the hope of the glory of God, but also in tribulation in our lives, adversity, and suffering. Now, you will boast of these things. You learn to continually walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, this is not for a believer who doesn't know how to walk in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. That's why there's a lot of confusion on it. This is not for a believer who doesn't know the Scriptures. Is not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. His plan. It's not for a believer, it isn't grounded in these things. The one who does not love the Word of God, this isn't for him. See, this is for the believer who understands the Word of God and understands the invisible warfare, the confidence of the revelation of Christ. This is going to be very important. The confidence of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We just had this weirdo predicting that the day of judgment was going to come yesterday, and it didn't happen. They can't even find him. Somebody told me that they looked for him, they couldn't find him. Maybe he was taken up by himself, I don't know. But anyway, maybe he's hiding under his bed. But he could. But you know, and we could talk about a lot of things that happened because of that. The critics and people that are anti-Christianity, that's the way the Christians are. They're nuts. They're always looking for the day of judgment. And Christians become discouraged that believe that stuff. And all these things. But people, let me just add one thing. We ought to live every day as though it was the revelation of Christ. Now, I have failed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 has pointed this out to me. Failed in making this part a primary part, the momentum of my teaching. But I won't make that mistake from here on out. This is how we're to live. Eagerly waiting is the way it's worded in 1 Corinthians 1. Eagerly waiting the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how this is directly related with enduring and exalt, not just enduring tribulation, but exalting in tribulation. That confidence that you and I have. I will see him. I will be just like him. And I will be with him forever. So we're going to put a lot of these things together. So this is not for the weak believer who doesn't have time to study the Word of God. See, this is for the believer who knows the truth of Scripture. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. Okay, let's just get right to it and take a look at the study of tribulation. And let's start with the word. The exalt in tribulation. Now we know what exalt, boasting, and tribulation is about. Now the word for tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis. Thlipsis. Now this is what is called a descriptive word of tribulation. Now, the reason I say that, this comes so you'll understand what tribulation is, and just as we go into this, it comes from the verb meaning to crush. It comes from the word to press, to compress, to squeeze, to break. People, tribulation is designed to squeeze, to crush your living by faith. It is designed to crush, to press against your being a witness of Christ. Now, this can come externally or internally, in its origin, in its effect, external, internal. But I want you to grasp what we're talking about with the word tribulation in the Bible, especially the New Testament here. The word means to crush, to press, to squeeze, to break. And what is happening? Tribulation is designed to break your witness of Christ, to squeeze your walking by faith out of you. Now, by way of introduction, kind of this is the overall thing I want you to grasp about suffering. We all know about tribulations and suffering. But I want this to be sort of an overriding principle. It's not a point, it's an overriding principle. Do not try to figure out where tribulation is coming from. Do not try to figure it out. Do not try to figure out the cause of tribulation in your life or in someone else's life. Christians love to judge. Over and over and over, judge not, judge not, judge not. Christians love to judge. They love to judge God. They love to judge Satan. They love to judge one another. And they love to judge self. And that's where a lot of stress, anxiety, and depression, sad, comes from. Self-judgment. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not performing good enough. I'm not doing this. And we judge ourselves. And stress, anxiety, and depression come in. But we like to judge God. We like to judge God. We like to judge Satan. And we like to judge one another. And we like to judge ourselves. This is sort of the overriding principle. People, under that, it does not matter the source of your tribulation. It does not matter if it is from God, from Satan, from the world, from others. The source does not matter. You have to deal with all tribulations the same way. We're going to see this as we go through this study. You have to deal with it the same way, regardless. Keep on trusting. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on growing in the Word. Gunshot wound. People, it doesn't matter if the gunshot wound is from friendly fire, from enemy fire, or self-induced. The doctor isn't going to say, well, let me see now. Was this gunshot wound you're experiencing from friendly power? Or was it from our enemy? Or did you do it to yourself? Because that's going to determine how I work on you. Doesn't do that. Doesn't matter. Don't get involved in all of that trying to figure out the why, the where, the cause. Don't do that. Keep on trusting. So trials, tribulations, sufferings. Major point one, introductory, do not try to figure out the source. Secondly, it is a test of your faith. It is a test of your faith. We have a lot of suffering in this church in many different ways. Everyone knows about Rick and Terry. Don't try to figure out why this happened to this 14-year-old young man who was loving the Lord, doing well in school, contributing to society, not a rebel, not this, not that. Why did God do this to this little boy? Why did God allow it? Stay away from that. Concentrate on what you're going to do with the tribulation, what you're going to do with the suffering. What you're going to do with this tribulation, what you're going to do with the suffering, that's the great battle. Now, from these words, of what this word came from, crush, press, compress, squeeze, to break, you can see from Satan or the world that the design of tribulation is to break you. It's to break you, crush you. That's what his design is. From trusting in Jesus Christ, from being a witness for Jesus Christ, from studying in his word, growing in his word. It's going to be tribulation all through the church. This is a very difficult subject to teach in America because we have been a country under glass. Very few in the history of America have suffered because they were Christians, because they went to church, because they carried their Bible. Our first Congress spent 4 hours studying on a psalm of the Old Testament one day. It was built on all of these principles. This is changing in America. It's changing. But even having said that, we all understand tribulations and that occur in life. Okay, Roman numeral 1. Old Testament background in the study of this word, tribulation. Not the Greek word, but the concept tribulation. Roman numeral 1, Old Testament background study. Point 1. Trials, tribulation as a result of sin. Toil of man, anguish of man, tribulations, suffering, childbirth, all these things, just being a member of the fallen human race. There is tribulation that is just a result of being a member of the fallen human race. Point 2, subpoint 2. God often brings tribulation on man, nations, individuals, for their rebellion against him. Plagues of Egypt. In Ezekiel, God mentions 4 major ways of bringing tribulation on people that come up in Revelation. The sword, war, famine, economic, wild beast, violence, and disease. And we studied a multitude of these in our study of the book of Revelation. All right, let's see what we can maybe move on to where we are quickly. All right, here's the Greek word. It means to crush, press, compress, squeeze. All right, what is important in this word is the fact that this may be external or internal, and do not try to figure out where it comes from. And just keep on trusting him. Major 1, Old Testament, this brings us to where we are. Tribulation is a result of sin, toil of man, and the anguish, childbirth, all these things. Just being a member of the human race, the fallen human race, the result of sin in the garden, these things are going to happen. Now we come to point 2. God often brings tribulation on man, nations, individuals, and we've noted the 4 that are given. Now, point 3. Tribulation brought on by the adversary. The third thing. Tribulation brought on by the adversary, Satan. And 4. The world, due to its hatred of God and hatred of the Messiah. These are all just general ideas of the source of tribulation and why we experience so much tribulation. All right, that brings us to Roman numeral 2. New Testament introduction of tribulation. Just 3 quick points. We'll come back to this later. First of all, the word is often used to describe the sufferings of the people of God, believers in Jesus Christ, the church. And this word is used in that way throughout the New Testament against believers. Point two, the suffering of tribulation by believers is part of sharing the sufferings of Christ. I will reiterate this and pound this into your soul. And when you deal with tribulation and suffering, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Fellowship, that means you're joined together. You understand fellowship? Joined together. Fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. So people, when you're going through tribulation in life, I don't care where it's coming from. I don't care if it's Satan, the world, or even self-induced, as we'll see. The first thing you want to get into your mind, I'm a born-again believer, I'm identified with Christ. And we're going to endure these sufferings, sharing His sufferings. So as part of sharing the suffering of Christ, isn't it wonderful to pray and give thanks for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us? Isn't it great to sing hymns about His dying on the cross for us? Well, people, guess what? You also will have opportunities throughout your life in the sufferings and tribulations shared with Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. Amen. Yay, I love that. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. Ooh, don't think I like that quite so much. But why don't you see is how closely they're related, those two sufferings together. And then, the third, remember, no matter how difficult or challenging your tribulations may be, they do not compare with what will be experienced in the 7 years of the tribulation. Matthew 24:21. I hear people say, this is the worst things have ever been. No, people, you don't know much about the Spanish Inquisition. You don't know much about different times of history, different parts of the world. They may be interesting for America. They may be new for America. But if you know history, this isn't really compared with what's happened in history and what's going to happen in history. We'll cover more of this as we go through. This brings us to Roman numeral 3. Tribulation due to decisions in life. These are not from God. They're not from Satan. They're not from the world. Don't blame God. Don't blame Satan. And don't blame the world. First one is sin. Don't blame God for your sins, and don't blame Satan, and don't blame the world. Don't blame the bartender, and don't blame the blonde. You don't blame others. This is your own doing. Having made it clear that we are not to figure out where tribulations come in our lives or someone else's lives and judge them or judge what's going on, for a solution that is the same regardless of its source. Having understood that, we do need to make mention that a great deal of suffering in the world, in life, can be directly a result of your own decisions. While it can be argued that all tribulations are result of sin, the original fall of Adam and Eve, and the curse on earth, there is a suffering in individual lives that are a direct result of sin in our lives. Just a direct result. Okay? Let's take a look. One, suffering from rejection of authority. One of the biggest. This is why it is so vital that parents hammer this into that little bitty child. As it starts to say the first words it learns, not mommy, daddy, no, no, no. You've got to go through and teach that child authority. This generally starts in childhood, the rejection of authority. And if not corrected, will go on all through life. This is why some people never make it through school. It's not God. It's not their poor IQ. It's not the subject matter. It's their rejection of authority. They don't like the teacher. They don't like the teacher. They don't like the whole school establishment. And that's why they don't make it through school. It has nothing to do with God. They just reject authority. This is why it is so important. But so many parents today who want the mother to full-time work, the father full-time work, and so therefore they feel, I want them to love me even though I'm not always here, so I can't discipline them as much as I should or maybe, as I need to let them love me and I need to love them. People, it doesn't matter if a 10-year-old loves you or not. What's important is when a 34-year-old loves you. That's when it's important. I don't care if a 10-year-old says, I hate you and I hate her. It doesn't matter if you're a wise parent. It's when they're 34 and they come back. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. For all the discipline. All the spankings. All the correcting. All the lectures. Getting me through this. You've got to teach them respect of authority. This is so important. And then respecting the authority of God. Where did they first learn authority? Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad. Going to respect the authority of God? If you don't respect the authority of Mom and Dad, how are you going to respect the authority of God? The policeman, the coach. Don't like a coach. Don't like this. Don't like that. So all of these things, that's why a lot of people fired from their job. It's not God. It's not Satan. It's not the world. It's not their boss. It's them and their rejection of authority. It's one reason they can't. It's only one reason they can't hold a job. They get cut from the team. Dishonorable discharge from the military. Rejection of authority is a way of suffering by unbelievers and by born-again believers. All right, secondly, let's just go through several of them. Suffering from violation of the law. Criminal activity. 3, suffering from immorality. Causes a great deal of suffering today. Immorality. 4, suffering from divine discipline from God. That can easily be turned to blessing. Can easily be turned to blessing by faith recovery, getting back into the plan of God. Suffering from sin is not our subject in our study, but certainly can be involved in our study, people. By no means is all suffering related directly to sin. By no means. So many believers suffer related to the spiritual warfare and from other things we're going to look at. All right, that's A, sin. Now we come to B. B, poor decisions in regard to health. Drinking, drugs, smoking, overeating. Can't blame God. Can't blame Satan. Can't blame the world. I can't blame God for this gut. I'd like to blame Bluebell ice cream, but they don't care if I blame them or not as long as I keep using their product. You can't blame God. For drugs and alcohol. You can't blame the bartender. That's like blaming guns for the murders. You can't blame guns for murders. Blame the person that squeezed the round off. That stabbed with the knife. Don't blame knives. Weren't they? Well, we're going to ban all knives. Going to ban all weapons. No. It's a decision people make. So there's a lot of tribulation in life from poor decisions in regard to health. And I want to say that in regard to sin, in regard to poor health, rejection of authority, all of these can be turned to being a witness for Christ. It's not the end of time. All right. C, poor decisions in regard to romance, love, marriage. Now, many people suffer due to romantic love. And people, I'm not even talking about sexual immorality. I'm just talking about poor decision. who you fall in love with, who you dated, and who you get involved with, all these kinds of things. Leave sin completely out of the issue. There is still a great deal of tribulation brought into people's lives by very poor decisions and who they get involved with. I mean, we've all heard of the gal that she just is attracted to men that beat her. Why she go from that one to that one? All these kinds of things. And the type of a woman that a man did have. And he just, these are bad decisions. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about tribulation and suffering. So just by the person they fall in love with and marry. See? Not talking about premarital sex. I always like these self-righteous, judgmental Christians. Girl has premarital sex. She gets pregnant, God's judging her. Well, wait a minute. So, I know this other girl that had premarital sex, and she did not get pregnant, so God was blessing her. Is that the way this works? If you get pregnant, God's cursing you, disciplining you. But if you don't, then He must be blessing you. Or winking in His eye at you or something. Be careful how you judge. Be careful. And as a footnote to that, who said that having a child is a curse on that individual person and in their life? So we just have to be careful with all this judging that goes on. All right? So C, poor decisions in regard to wrong. This just gives you a general idea of suffering and tribulation from your own decisions. Now let's go to Roman numeral 4. Tribulation in the world. Tribulation in the world, in life itself. Okay? One, war. I don't think I need to say any more. I'm a soldier. I'm a foot soldier. I didn't ask for this war. I'm a member of this society and this country. Countries all through history. I was drafted or given a weapon and told to go fight. Go kill. All those things that has to happen. Just war. History. Weather disasters. Disease. Earthquakes. Tornadoes. Heat. Coldness. Floods. Tsunamis. Volcanoes. Much of the world suffers today from lack of food and clothing and water. Three. National disasters. Economic, depression, dictatorship, military police, unfair judicial system. Four, circumstances of life. Being an orphan. I didn't ask to be for an orphan. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for my parents to either abandon me or be dead. A widow. Didn't ask for my husband to die. James 1:27 beckons us on tribulations related to being orphans and widows. Diseases. Do I have that on there? No, I don't. Don't have diseases on there. All right. I'm so frustrated. I've got to close. And we'll start here next Sunday morning and get into some of the real meat. Why? What to do? Why count it joy? Why exalt in tribulation? And also extremely important, how? How do you do that? So we need to continue and get into this in a very big way next Sunday morning. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, well, we're members of this world. We can't escape tribulations and sufferings related to this world. It's got to happen. Our Savior, our friend, even warned us, in the church age, you will have tribulation. But what a wonderful, loving Savior. In the midst of the tribulation, you can have peace. My peace. Not peace as the world gives, but my peace. In the middle of suffering, the middle of the most extreme adversity, we can experience this peace. And Heavenly Father, we come as an assembly of believers, and we pray for Rick and Terry. They will experience this peace, going through unbelievable tribulation in their life with their son. Just pray that they will experience this peace supernaturally. They won't even know where it's coming from, the sense of how can this be, except knowing that it's a supernatural power, a blessing given to them. And we pray that they will experience it, Father. And I personally pray, Father, that every believer here and every believer that listens, a time we're through, when we finish this study, they will understand and know how everyone may also have peace, regardless of the source of tribulation. Whether we can do anything about it or whether we caused it, we can still have peace. That's what kind of Savior we have. That's what kind of God you are. And we praise you, Father, for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.